Hello, everybody. How is everyone doing today? Testing, testing, 1, 2, testing. Testing, 1, 2, testing, testing. Hi, everybody. My name is Angela Williamson, and I am the author of Effective Treatment and Solution for the Autistic Population. And basically, what I'm going to talk about today is ADHD and autism. What is ADHD? ADHD is Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. What is autism? Autism is a developmental disorder or neurological impairment that is based on a broad spectrum ranging from mild to severe. Usually these individuals lack social skills, they are self-absorbed, they often find themselves stuck in routines, a lot of them resist being touched, a lot of them don't give you direct eye contact. Although many of these symptoms can vary from person to person. Okay, let's move on. Autism can be overlapped with other disorders, such as ADHD. What are the causes of ADHD? The causes of ADHD can be caused by food with dyes in them, artificial flavor, additives, preservatives, natural flavors, chemicals in personal care products, perfumes, dyes, scented products, smokes of all kinds, such as cigarette smoke, fireplace smoke, food cooking on a grill. This can trigger ADHD in some children. Okay, chemicals in food, dyes in food, such as FDA, FND, yellow. And you have salicylates found in foods that often contribute to individuals with ADHD. Printing ink also contribute to ADHD in individuals with autism or just people with ADHD, period. You have perfumes. A lot of the perfumes have synthetic ingredients. Many of the perfumes that they're making now are not natural or come from flowers like they used to. You have fresh paint that contribute to ADHD, especially the ones that have a lot of chemicals in it. Pesticides, you have laundry detergent with perfume in it. A lot of these perfumes have synthetic, you know, ingredients in it, or, you know, artificial, you know, just chemicals in it that are very harmful. A lot of these chemicals that I'm listing are that certain items that I'm listing that can be found in these products are not really tested by, you know, the FDA, by the environment, or EPA. Therefore, we really don't know if these chemicals are actually safe. But what we do know is that when a lot of children or individuals use these products, are exposed to these products for a long time or for long prolonged periods of time or throughout the day, it usually causes disorders. And those who have autism are sensitive to this, and it can overlap with ADHD. Another thing which trigger ADHD is scented soaps, bubble baths, certain liquid soaps, cleaning products, new clothing with synthetic chemicals such as formaldehyde and fabric dyes. A lot of people don't know when you have chemicals and they overlap with each other. This can produce elevated levels of exposure, which also can trigger ADHD in those who have autism or just in normal developing children. Okay, let's examine this right now. Let me examine why are we seeing more cases of children with ADHD versus in the past, we did not have a lot of children with ADHD. Some people will argue and say that individuals in the past, even though we had these foods with dyes in them, foods with, you know, sugar, or we have cleaning products, or we have, you know, laundry soap with dyes and chemicals, why we're not seeing a lot of children or adults with ADHD then versus now? One question I can answer that. A lot of foods that the children eat nowadays, children a long time ago did not eat them in excess of like they do now. A lot of candies, a lot of children now eat candies, they didn't eat a lot of foods that have artificial flavoring, that did not have artificial dye, didn't have food colors. A lot of children, they ate home-cooked meals. They ate home-cooked meals, and the food was more wholesome, more organic, didn't have a lot of pesticides in it. So therefore, you did not see a lot of individuals with autism having this. Or individuals are basically, well, you really didn't have a lot of individuals with autism back then, but you didn't really have a lot of individuals or children have these type of problems. So a lot of us is pinpointing to the food dyes, chemicals, a whole host of stuff, a whole host of stuff that you didn't see a long time ago that you're seeing now. Another thing that you see that's contributing to ADHD in those with autism is vitamin deficiencies, mineral deficiency, lack of omega-3s, calcium and magnesium deficiency, vitamin D deficiency, vitamin B6 and magnesium deficiencies, vitamin C, mold found in canned food, BPAs found in canned food, chemicals found in processed meats, such as antibiotics, hormones, pollutants, and a host of other stuff. Another thing is a lot of people don't know a lot of people don't know paint, certain type of smell of paint, certain type of chemicals on wood, like for example, polyurethane that contribute ADHD and certain chemical. When I say paint, this applies to many types of paint, fingernail polish, paint that people paint, oil paint that you paint pictures with, that can trigger ADHD because of the chemicals in it. If a child is sensitive to this type of chemical, it can trigger different type of symptoms of ADHD. What I'm going to do now, we're going to look at different types of symptoms. We're going to break ADHD down, okay? ADHD, most children with ADHD can experience behavioral problems. And what do we mean by behavioral problems? It could be constant motion, running instead of walking, inability to sit still, inappropriate wiggling of legs, hands, poor self-control, unpredictable behavior, disruptive behavior, disturb others, unresponsive to discipline, abusive behavior, unkindness to pets, destruction behavior, throw, break things, little or no recognition of danger to self, inappropriate noises, excessive or loud talking, interrupt often. Okay, you're going to see also a lot of compulsion, compulsive action, compulsive such as aggression. Okay, touching things or people excessively, chewing on clothes, other objects, scratching, biting, or picking at the skin. Workaholic habits. Okay, you're going to see a lot of, you're going to have a lot of emotional concerns, low frustration tolerance, demand immediate attention, irritability, overreaction to touch, pain, sound, lights, nervousness, panics easily, mood swings, low self-esteem, depression, frequent crying, suicidal thoughts. all this can be found in those who have ADHD. I mean, well, not all of them, but some of these can be found in children with ADHD, or it could be a variety of this. Another thing with individual ADHD that we often see, learning problems, okay, short attention span, impatient, distraction, failure to complete projects, inability to listen to to whole stories, inability to follow directions. You have a neuromuscular involvement, accident prone. Sometimes they may trip over themselves. They may knock down things easily. Poor muscle coordination, difficulty writing, drawing, dyslexia, reading problems, speech difficulties, delays, difficulties with playground activities, sports, eye muscle disorder, tics, usually unusual or uncontrollable movement, seizures if combined with migraine or hyperactivity. You also see cognitive and perceptual disturbances, auditory memory defects, difficulty remembering what is hard, visual memory defects, difficulty remembering what is seen, difficulty in comprehension and short-term memory, disturbance in spatial orientation, for example, up, down, right, left, difficulty in reasoning, for example, simple math problem, meaning in words. All of this that I'm reading from is coming from the Feingold Association, and I'm going to explain Feingold Association in just a minute after when I go over some of the symptoms that we see in individuals with ADHD, which is often overlap with those who have autism. You see health problems. People have symptoms of ADHD that responds well to dietary management also frequently have health problems such as ear infection, asthma, bedwetting, daytime wetting, stomach ache, headaches, migraine, hives, rashes, eczema, leg aches, constipation, diarrhea, congestion, seizures, resistance. You also see problems sleeping, resistance to going to bed, difficulty falling asleep, restlessness, erratic sleep, nightmares, bad dreams. Now, a lot of stuff that I talked about the health problem, some of them overlap with children that have autism. If you ever listen to my other live interviews on my other conferences or my live television appearance, I have often mentioned children with autism, they often experience constipation, they often experience diarrhea, congestion, stomach aches, ear infections. Some of them may have asthma. The list goes on and on. Okay, let me get back to Feingold Association. Basically, it's a group of people that created the Feingold Protocol. Feingold Protocol usually lists, they usually tell those who have ADHD to stop, you know, taking certain, stop eating foods or taking medication with certain kind of chemicals in them, to avoid certain toiletries with certain chemicals in them that would trigger ADHD in them. They also give them a list of what are the symptoms. It gives them a list, you know, how to, you know, how to help their symptoms. I mean, they're not against medicine. They're not against processed food. All they do is try to educate people and try to tell them that certain chemicals in a food are salicylate that are found naturally in the environment, and certain type of food may cause harm or may produce ADHD in certain children. And when you take these chemicals or these naturally occurring like salicylate in the foods out, you'll see the ADHD disappear. Okay, and a lot of times, those who have autism that have ADHD and it overlaps, it usually disappears as well. Okay, I'm going to go on. How can we treat ADHD? Okay, ADHD can be treated basically with vitamin therapy, mineral therapy, the same thing that I discussed throughout my book in treating autism. A lot of this stuff, it overlaps. When I did research, I said, wow, not only that this helps those with autism, it also helps individual ADHD or individual who have ADHD and autism. Let's examine this certain things that will help those who have ADHD and autism. Calcium with magnesium is great if you have ADHD. Blue-green with algae is great. Blue-green algae have an array of vitamins and minerals, okay? It only thing it really doesn't have is the vitamin D, but it replenishes the body with a lot of vitamins and minerals. You have Epsom salt baths. What you do is get some Epsom salt. You fill your tub up. Put, you know, put the amount of Epsom salt, you know, in the bathtub according to the direction. You let it, you know, dissolve in the bathtub. Once it dissolves, you have the child or individual sit in the bathtub and soak. And when they do this, they're taking in the calcium from the Epsom salt bath. Not only that, it calms them down and it replenishes their body. You have vitamin B6 and magnesium, which is also great with those who have autism, but also can be used for those who have ADHD. You have vitamin D. You have vitamin C. Okay, all of these help those who have ADHD. Another thing another thing that significantly contributes to ADHD is candida. Candida contributes a lot to ADHD. Matter of fact, I was reading an article about an adult who had ADHD, and basically they were put on prescription medication. The medication they reported did help with ADHD. It helped like 75 to 80%, but, you know, they still had it. It was able to focus more better, but it wasn't 100%. Why they continue to take the medication start causing physical ailments or physical, you know, health problems. And when he went to the doctor gave him another prescription medication to help with the health problems. But that prescription medication started causing another health problem. So this individual, they decided to do research. And when they researched and he looked at his diet and looked at the type of food he was eating and looked at the type of food he was craving, he decided to research on candida and discovered that candida has a connection with ADHD. And once he got candida in control and back in balance, then his ADHD disappeared. Now, some of you guys, if you have not heard my live conference call before, or my lectures before, candida, what is candida? Candida is an overgrowth of yeast, okay? Overgrowth of yeast with inside the digestive system. You have beneficial bacteria, you have yeast, you have other microorganisms. All of them are living in harmony with each other. When one of them get out of balance, for example, if you take antibiotics, antibiotics wipe out all the beneficial bacteria. And when all the beneficial bacteria is wiped out, then, you know, the yeast starts to grow because you don't have the bacteria to keep it in check. You don't have the bacteria to keep this, you know, in balance. A lot of people think all bacteria are bad. That's not necessarily true. You have good bacteria and you have bad bacteria. So once this person got the candida under control, they no longer had ADHD. Okay, a lot of you guys want to know, how do I get my candida under control? How do I get it, back into balance? Candida loves to feed off of sugar. Candida loves to feed off the yeast. Candida loves to feed off of sugary stuff. I mean, for example, well, not really, I said sugar, but processed foods, like for example, white bread that turns into sugar. When you eat it, it breaks down and it turns into sugar. It loves that. Loves a lot of processed foods. So basically, what you have to do if you want to control the candida, get the candida back in balance, you will have to change your diet. You will have to take probiotics. You will have to take some type of, stuff or some natural remedies that kill the overgrowth of candida. You have caprylic acid. You have citric acid. You have prescription medications. Some people take that would get the yeast under control. And I really go into detail about candida, the overgrowth of candida. Another thing you have to do with candida, you have to drink a lot of water. You have to cleanse your liver. You have to cleanse your colon. It's basically you have to really cleanse your body. And once you get under control, again, disorders will disappear. So not only candida can cause, induce autism, but also can induce ADHD. Okay. Now, one way you can do to eliminate foods, if you want to know, for example, your child has ADHD and the child eats a particular type of food and you don't know what to take out or you don't know how to start. One lady that I really, really recommend in my book, Effective Treatment Solution for the Autistic Population, is Dr. Doris Rapp. Dr. Doris Rapp, she has a book called Is This Your Child? Excellent, excellent book. She breaks it down. She breaks how you can test for food allergies by special labs or through elimination rotation of foods. There are different ways of using elimination diet to see what kind of foods your child cannot tolerate. Dr. Rapp discusses the use of single and multiple food allergy diet, including practical rotary diet. All this is also in my book on starting on page 76. She breaks it down. The elimination diet method is when you take one particular food item that your child eats regularly and remove it from his or her diet. Okay? Then the single food item is reintroduced every 4 days. The child should not eat anything for a span of 3 to 4 hours before reintroducing this food item. What you're going to do when you reintroduce the food item, after when you take it out for the days that she's telling you, and you see the symptoms start to disappear, then you reintroduce it in the diet again, and then you pay attention. You look for symptoms. Now, some children, they may need to take that single, food item for 2 weeks. So this, you might have to play around with it. But once you put it back in, you observe. You look for behaviors. You look for, what this food item triggers. Now, chemicals in food and certain type of food affect people very differently. Some people may have ADD. What is ADD? ADD is attention deficit disorder. You're not hyper, but you cannot focus. You're not attentive. You're inattentive. That means you can't, when you start on a project, you can't finish. You can't start. So you have to pay very close attention. Another thing is some children may go in rages. Some children may get angry. Some children may get upset. Some children may go crazy from a tomato, that has pesticides on it because their body can't handle that. They are sensitive to that. You have children that have peanut allergies, which can cause them their lungs to swell up or lungs to shut down, or they can't breathe, and it can cause death. You have a lot of people, they don't understand that certain foods and chemicals can cause brain allergies. And in the world we live in today, you have a lot of individuals that have bipolar, that have ADHD, that have autism, that have ADD, that have a whole host of disorders, especially among children. And this is coming from all the chemicals in the food. Now, some of you guys may ask yourself, why would they put a lot of food dyes? Why would they put a lot of chemicals in the food? One answer would answer this: to make money. When you replace an ingredient that's all natural, that's actually real food, with artificial flavoring, with dye, it's cheap. It's cheaper. And you make more money. So that's the main reason why they do it. Greed. You make more money, you cheapen the product. For example, long time ago, when you bought perfume, they were really made from flowers. The scents were from flowers. Now they are made from synthetic ingredients that's made in the laboratory. And as a result, if you have perfume that's made of synthetic ingredients or chemicals that never been tested before, then you're eating food that have dyes in it, chemicals, heavy metals. I mean, and then you're wearing clothes that have chemicals, dyes in it, heavy metals, you're going to have a problem. This is going to trigger some type of disorder. Okay? If you have a child with autism and they're exposed to this, this is going to trigger ADHD in them. Or it might trigger autism. It depends on your genetic makeup, or it could trigger both. It could trigger, many disorders in one person. Then you're eating food that's processed. So it's like a triple whammy. It's like you're being bombarded with all these chemicals all around you. Then you have the multiple elimination diet. The multiple elimination diet is when you take several foods out of the child's diet. Okay, for two or more, it's usually it could be several food or two or more food items from the child's daily diet. You first of all, you create two lists: foods that are allowed and foods that are forbidden. Then you go through phases. You can go through during phase one of this diet. Foods that are not allowed would be given to the child for a week or two, or foods that are allowed, excuse me, that are allowed would be given to a child for a week or two. And actually, they actually saw a lot of children start to feel better within the time period. Then, depending on the child, some children may have a withdrawal. For example, if a child has candida and you took out the chips, the rice cake, all the carbs, the sugar, they may have a withdrawal effect and may actually be craving the food, the forbidden food item. And their body's like, I want more and more and more, so they can go through a withdrawal method. And well, they almost they also may withdraw from the food additives or preservatives too. So you have to make a distinction between the two. Is it from the food allergies? Is it from the food? So is it from the food that's causing the food allergy, or is it from the pesticide or herbicide or additives that's added in the food? Molds, a lot of molds can trigger ADHD in children. Also, a lot of individuals with autism, they are very sensitive to molds. Very, very highly sensitive to molds. Okay. You have, after when you do the first phase or the first phases of the elimination diet, you have a second part of the multiple elimination diet is when you reinduce the when you're reintroducing one food item from the forbidden food list in smaller quantities throughout the day. The reason why they're doing smaller quantities throughout the day because you're trying to pinpoint reactions. And instead of giving the whole thing, you do smaller quantities so you could actually see how is this triggering, behavioral problems, triggering rashes, triggering ADHD in the child. And they strongly tell people if you already know, for example, if the child's allergic to peanuts, you're not going to give the child peanuts because you already know the child's allergic to peanuts, therefore, it's not feasible to give the child peanuts. A different food item from the forbidden food list should be added each day. So when you add one forbidden for one day, then you add it for another day and another day. And in my book, I go in detail. For example, on day 8, wheat is added and eaten throughout the day. On day 9, milk is added. During day 10, chocolate is added, etc. You shall observe child meeting immediately after consuming the forbidden food item to look for any symptoms that may reappear. Okay, this is very important for parents to observe the child from the beginning of the day to the end of the day so you take notes to see, what kind of reaction the child has had. Okay, after the multiple elimination diet, you have the practical rotary diet. Okay, this also detects food allergy. The child, children who partake of this diet usually consume a variety of food without suffering from the occurrence of food allergies. This particular diet is successful when guided by a nutritionist or a professional who specializes in allergies or food sensitivity. Okay, this type of diet requires a great deal of work. A great deal of work, such as allergy extraction therapy. This therapy involves using solution that contains substances that cause allergies in the child. The solution is injected under the skin 3 times a week for a period of several weeks to months. The food in this particular diet are rotated at 4-day interval. For example, if a child eats one particular food item one day, such as bread, he or she cannot have it again until the 4th day. This may sound weird to some people, and you may wonder why. Why would a person even give a kid, food that they know they are allergic to? Wow, that's just crazy. However, the reasoning behind this theory is that the child will have fewer reactions when given food that he or she is allergic to in moderation. You have some children, they are allergic to everything. You have some individuals, how many children that are allergic to everything? And so instead of having to be on a restrictive diet, you introduce, you give this kid, food for the suggested time period. You inject them with the extract therapy, and they're able to have, enjoy food, and their diet is not so restrictive. So that's the reasoning behind that. But it's a great deal of work, and you really need a professional to really work with you. The next thing I'm going to talk about how to detect, food allergies, chemical sensitivity, and this is all from Dr. Doris Rapp. And a lot of this will help you pinpoint if your child has autism and ADHD, pinpoint what is causing ADHD in the children, in this child, So you have, this test, has an 80-90% success rate. The provocation neutralization test is known as a PNN test, and it consists of two parts. The first part involves placing the allergy extract under the outer layer of the skin. This determines whether the child has allergic reaction from the extract, which usually creates a bump. This bump in the entire body are monitored for symptoms such as headaches or hives, which are a positive sign for allergy. The allergy is then weak and injected or placed inside the mouth under the tongue to neutralize the reaction. The weakened allergy is injected in intervals until there is no adverse reaction anymore. So that's the PN test, the provocation neutralization test. You have another test. It's called the RAS, an EMCAP test, which is very effective in searching, you know, for food allergies, chemical sensitivity. Dr. Doris Rapp, she has an excellent, excellent book. Is This Your Child? I suggest if you have a child with autism, a child with ADHD, a child with bipolar, or just a normal developing child, a typical child, you should get this book because she pinpoints a lot of allergies that are not easily recognizable, especially if you take a child to the doctor and you may tell your doctor, well, my child has a lot of anger, my child has a lot of aggression, my child cannot focus. They might diagnose your child as having ADHD. When they diagnose it, the next thing you know what they're going to do is put the child on medication. With Dr. Doris Rapp, she suggests let's look into other factors that may be causing this so-called disorder, and it may not be actual a disorder like ADHD and autism. It actually may be food allergy. It may actually be an allergy to chemicals, to food that's triggering this behavior. She had treated a lot of people who have ADHD. She had treated people who have autism. She had treated children who have, you know, anger issues. She had treated children with cognitive disorders. And a lot of these stem from what she said was from food allergies, from chemical sensitivity. You have this child, again, like I said before, I just can't get this out of my head. You have this actual child. He ate a tomato. He was calm before he ate the tomato. Pleasant child, calm. When he ate the tomato, he just went crazy. He started hitting on his parent. He started screaming. It was like two different children. Two different. I mean, like, is that the same child that was, you know, that was 10 minutes, 15 minutes ago? And you have another child she recorded that was allergic to sugar. The child eats sugar, the child just go crazy. I mean, literally lose his mind. So this would make me really get into her work and start to follow her work, you know, because she really pinpoints to the cause why these children are behaving instead of just giving them a pill and putting a band-aid on. I think certain medications are good. I'm not anti-medication, but I believe they are given, too many are given, and doctors are not actually looking into the causes. Like, for example, if a lot of children nowadays are becoming, you know, autistic or they have ADHD, what is the cause versus long time ago? This is not normal. You just can't say, oh, well, it's genetic. I mean, come on. Let's look at the environment. Let's look at the food, and let's address this. And this has to be addressed. A lot of children with ADHD, they have a lot of symptoms that I just read, you know, previously. For example, the auditory memory defects, visual memory defects, that can be handled by auditory integration, accident-prone, poor muscle coordination, that can be handled by sensory integration. So basically, if you have a child that has ADHD and autism, again, you have to treat the body as whole. Even if you have a child with ADHD, you have to treat the body as whole. You have to, and depending on a child, some children, once you take these items out of their environment, out of their diet, their ADHD disappears. Their autism disappears. Whereas some children, their symptoms are they just, I mean, they have improved, but they still got the disorder. So that's when you have to look at, okay, what else is happening? What else do I have to do? How can I make that disorder either manageable or how can I help them overcome this disorder? That's when you have to, okay, do my child need occupational therapy? Do my child need the Wilberger protocol? And for many of you guys don't know what the Wilberger protocol is, the brushing. You get a surgical brush from a medical supply store or from a magazine that sells occupational therapy supplies. You brush the child's arms, you brush the child's legs, you brush the child's back, and then you do joint compression. This calms the child down. It cleans the lymphatic system. Or you can use it with the massager. Actually, I had one lady I suggested doing this to her son. I said, you know, why don't you get a massager, massage his back, massage his arm. She told me she did that. He fell asleep for 2 hours. It just calmed him down. He went to sleep for 2 hours. So some children may need that, or they may need exercise. You know, nowadays, a lot of children are not getting exercise like they used to. They're not exercising, they're not running, they're not playing. They're sitting around playing TV and then eating foods with a lot of chemicals in it, dyes, preservatives, additives. They're not really actually eating food. If you actually break down ingredients, it's really not food. It's partial. I mean, it's made of food. It's something. It's not whole food. It's not really food that you can really find in the environment. It's food that's made in a laboratory. So when you have a lot of children eating these food, or a lot of children going to McDonald's, McDonald's have a lot, their food have a lot of chemicals in it. It's highly processed. Long time ago, again, as I mentioned previously, you didn't have a lot of children who ate a lot of this types of food like they do now. If you go back to 1950s, a lot of children did not go to McDonald's for dinner every night. They did not go to McDonald's for the breakfast. They did not go to McDonald's for lunch. McDonald's was a treat. Children ate wholesome food, like I said in the beginning of the conference. Children did not eat a lot of candy. My mother was telling me this when she was a child. She was prohibited from eating snacks. They did not snacks. She didn't eat candy. She said she ate candy probably a little bit during Halloween, a little bit on Easter, and some on Christmas. But she didn't have candy every day. They weren't allowed to drink sodas. So a lot of people argue, well, again, we had the dyes and stuff a long time ago. But a lot of children did not eat foods that have the dyes in it like the children nowadays. You have toothpaste that have dye in it, you know, where they didn't have toothpaste that had dye in it a long time ago. You have medication, like for if a child gets sick, have dye in it, have additives, have preservatives in it. So the kid is bombarded with all of this dye, preservatives, additives, all this within their system. And then you can't understand why the child has ADHD or if the child has autism. It triggers ADHD and autism. These children need to eat wholesome foods, real food, food that is grown from the ground, that is grown from the tree, that has nutrients and minerals, vitamins, everything to nourish the body. A lot of children nowadays are not getting that. Unfortunately, a lot of the foods that's in the school system are bad. It's not healthy for you. That's not what you call food. If you actually look at the food, for example, the school that I work at, they have powdered eggs, fake eggs. I call them fake eggs. They laugh at me when I tell them that. They're not real eggs. Could you imagine eating that and digesting that? A lot of food comes from the can. When you eat canned food, that's molds, molds in the food. Molds trigger ADHD and trigger behavioral problems in those who have autism. You have to treat the body as whole. Once you take these out of the child's diet, the foods with the dye in it, like, for example, Fruit Loops, take that out. that has nothing but sugar and dye. That's not even really a breakfast. You take out candy, you take out the McDonald's, start cooking them whole foods, and then see what kind of food that they cannot tolerate. A lot of individual autism that I said in my other live interviews, live television shows, wheat, gluten, they can't tolerate that. They can't break that down in their system. They have the leaky gut syndrome. It goes through the gut, goes through the blood, and goes to the brain. They may feel like they're high or drunk, or some of them may run around aimlessly, run this way, run that way, run all around the way, and it triggers ADHD. And unfortunately, if you take a child to the doctor, they quit to put your child on a pill. But I'm here to tell you now, you do not have to put your child on the pill. There are other alternative methods that you can use, as I previously discussed. For those who join us late, I'm going to run down this list again. Basically, this list comes from the FINGO protocol, which addresses ADHD. It also works with those who have autism. They list a whole list of ingredients that have chemicals in it that trigger ADHD in those who are sensitive. For example, you have perfume with the synthetic ingredients. You have fresh paint. A lot of people don't know if you have that paint smell. It has a lot of chemicals in it. If you read the labels in some paints, they even will tell you, do not use this while pregnant because it can cause birth defects. Do not use this if a person is allergic. So try to get paints that don't have a lot of chemicals in it or low VOC paints. Pesticides can trigger off ADHD in some children. Laundry with the perfume. The perfumes that they put in are the the stuff that make the laundry smell good. That's all synthetic chemicals. A lot of these synthetic chemicals, they are not tested. They can get away with putting that in, laundry detergent, even the fabric softeners, which can trigger disorders or can trigger ADHD in children, and it can trigger ADHD in those who have autism. Another thing is, I mentioned earlier, the new clothes with synthetic chemicals such as formaldehyde and fabric dyes. When you buy a shirt, you have that new smell. That can trigger brain allergies, which is ADHD, and a whole host of other stuff. Basically, with the FINGO, they tell people, the FINGO protocol, they tell people to take new clothes and wash them. And if you wash your clothes, wash them in laundry, all natural, or organic, without the scent, laundry soap. You can also wash them in, unscented hypo allergenic soap. This, you just have to monitor your child. When you take the dyes out, say if you take the dyes out of the child's diet, the dyes and chemicals out of the child's, environment, say if you cleaned your house with vinegar, baking soda, all natural, say you wash your clothes with all natural. You have to be careful with all natural too when they say all natural, but with organic or, unscented. Observe your child. See how the child is doing. Not only that, putting in air purifiers in the home is also good because it cleans the air. A lot of people talk about outdoor pollution, but they don't talk about indoor pollution. There, some homes are really polluted indoors. For example, you may have, like, if you may have aerosol spray that lingers in the air. You may have mold. You may have, perfume, all that stuff, and that can trigger ADHD in children. So basically, what we have to do is go back, clean up our diet, clean up our environment, take out the chemicals in the clothes, wear organic cotton material, or all natural, but be careful all natural, like I just said, because all natural is the under disguise. Yes, it may not have, certain dyes in it, but it could be all natural, but heavily sprayed with pesticide. A lot of people don't know that. You have to be careful with certain lotions you put on your skin. It has certain chemicals in it, such as fragrance. You read fragrance, oh, that's just something to make it smell good. But fragrance, you have 100 different chemicals listed under fragrance. For women, you have to be careful. Like if you wear lipstick and you're around the child, you kiss the child on the cheek, some of the lipstick have lead in it. They have certain chemicals in it. You kiss the child on the cheek. Sometimes I have seen where children break out. They had allergic reaction to this. Again, when you're treating those with autism and ADHD, you have to treat the body as whole. You have to target what they're eating. You have to target what's in the environment, and then you have to use the educational. You have to give them a good educational program. For example, like I said in my other lecture, ABA. However, if you're using ABA, the ABA must be flexible. It should not be rigid and controlling. It should be flexible. And it should learn from the child. It should adapt to the child, and the child should not adapt to it. Floor time method, which is excellent. Sunrise program, social stories, or whatever you're using that is child-centered, that learns from the child. Okay? A lot of behavioral therapists, they may try to tell, well, this is what you need to do to the child. That's fine and dandy. That may work for some children, but it may not work for all children. What might work for one child may not work for another child. This is why it's very important to be flexible and to base a program on a child's strengths, not only their weaknesses. So once you treat everything whole, you see the child change. The child changed significantly. Most likely, if a child have a leaky gut syndrome, that is causing the ADHD and a lot of the other symptoms of autism. Once you heal that gut, then most people that I know that have autism, or they have, they manage their autism very well. They are able to have the milk. They're able to have the wheat back into their diet. So this is very important, but each methodology or each treatment should be geared to those with autism individually. Because you have some children with autism, they don't have ADHD. They may have ADD. They may be inattentive, but don't have the hyperactivity. I'm going to go to Q&A. If you have any questions, just hit star six. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, I'm going to continue talking. Seems like I have a shy group tonight, even though I have a lot of you guys on the call. A lot of you guys, I guess no questions in Q&A. I'm going to review again some of the symptoms that are often found in those who have ADHD, and this is from the Feingold protocol. And for a lot of you guys who want to learn about their program to treat ADHD and those with autism, they also treat, individual bipolars, a host of disorders. But you can go to www.feingold.org. Okay, they will get you started on, and they will tell you what to do and how to get started in a program. But this is, again, this is a list of what you can find in individuals who have ADHD. Okay, you have behavioral problems marked by hyperactivity. These individuals are children, mostly they're in constant motion, running instead of walking, inability to sit still, inappropriate wiggling of the legs and hands, poor self-control, unpredictable behavior, disruptive behavior, disturbs other, unresponsive to discipline, abusive behavior, unkindness to pets. Now, this is not found in all people who have ADHD. Some of this may be found in people, or may be a combination of, combination of this. Okay, this is impulse action. They have poor self-control, unpredictable behavior, destructive behavior, throw, break things, little or no recognition of danger to self, inappropriate noise, excessive or loud talking, interrupt often. They have compulsive action like aggression, touching things, people excessively, chewing on clothing, other objects, scratching, biting, picking at skin, workaholic habits. Okay, these are the emotional concerns again, low frustration tolerance, demand immediate attention, irritability, overreaction to touch, pain, sound, light, nervousness, panic easily, mood swings, low self-esteem, depression, frequent crying, suicidal thoughts. Then ADHD goes into learning problem, where they have a short attention span, they're impatient, distractive, failure to complete projects, inability to listen to the whole story, inability to follow directions. A lot of the stuff you can also find in children with autism: accident prone, poor muscle coordination, difficulty writing, drawing, dyslexia, reading problems, speech difficulties or delays, difficulty with playground activities. A lot of the stuff, as I mentioned before, can also be addressed with sensory integration, which you can find in my book, Effective Treatment and Solutions for the Autistic Population. Eye muscle disorder, tics, seizures. Some of them may have cognitive and perceptual disturbances like auditory memory defects, difficult remembering what is heard, visual memory defect, difficult remembering what is seen. A lot of this can be also addressed with auditory integration that I mentioned previously, or vision therapy, which also works very well with individuals with autism and ADHD. They also have difficulties in comprehension and short-term memory, disturbance in spatial orientation, for example, up, what's down, right, left, difficulty in reasoning, simple math problems, meaning in words. A lot of children are individual ADHD and autism. They usually have frequent ear infections, which the doctor usually gives you antibiotics. And like I said in the beginning, which some of you guys may have missed, this is why I'm going over it again. When you take the antibiotics, it kills the beneficial bacteria. And when you kill the beneficial bacteria, the yeast overgrows. And when the yeast overgrows, it becomes candida, and candida contributes to ADHD and autism. So this is where you get the cravings for the sugar. This is where you get cravings for certain foods. And certain children, when you take that food away from them, they actually go through withdrawals. You know, they get upset. They, cry because their body is urging for more. These foods keep the candida growing, and when candida gets out of control, it triggers disorders in people. And a lot of people don't realize that. And like I was mentioning about this guy, he actually cured himself from ADHD when he got control of his candida and put it back in balance. Again, your digestive system or your intestinal flora has beneficial bacteria, yeast, and other microorganisms all living in harmony together. And when it's disrupted, you have the yeast can overgrow. And when you give antibiotics, antibiotics stands for anti-life. Unfortunately, a lot of doctors, after when they give their patient antibiotics, they don't follow up with probiotics. Because when you take the antibiotics, it kills the bacterial infection, but it also kills the beneficial bacteria. And that's when you should get probiotics to replenish the body with beneficial bacteria to bring, you know, to bring the balance back. So once you get everything within homeostasis, everything within balance, you see a lot of the ADHD disappear. Because from my experience, my daughter, she had ADHD with her autism. And I tell you, she used to run around aimlessly. She used to run from here to there, just everywhere. She couldn't keep still. And when I dress, okay, let's take a look at what she's eating. Let's put her back on whole foods. I took the wheat out, the dairy, organic. Oh, it's like a whole nother child. A whole nother child. She came alive. She started to come out of her own world. She wasn't ADHD anymore. And for those who just joined us, I'm going to run down what to take, how to treat ADHD naturally, minerals, omega-3s. A lot of children with autism and that have ADHD have low levels of omega-3s. When they have bumps on their legs and thigh, or they have eczema, that's a good sign. Or just being inattentive. So omega-3s, you can also use calcium with magnesium. Blue-green algae has omega-3s in them. They have minerals. They have an array of vitamins. The only thing they don't have is vitamin D, which vitamin D is very important as well. It can also contribute to ADHD, especially for people of color. Doctors really didn't know the beneficial of vitamin D. Now we're starting to learn more about vitamin D and its important role. Vitamin D you can get from the sun naturally, and you can get from your food. Unfortunately, doctors will tell people you must have at least 15 minutes or more, you know, a day in the sun. This may be good for people who have fair skin, but if you have dark skin, you're going to need more. If you're overweight, you're going to need more. Depends on the shade of your skin. If you're really, really dark skin, you might need 40 minutes a day, especially if you're living up north. I live in New York City, so where I live, you're going to need more. If you can't be out in the sun, then it's good to take some kind of supplement. You know, you can take cod liver oil. That has, you know, a lot of vitamin D in it, A and D, and other, you know, supplements. That's from whole food sources. A lot of people don't know when you have vitamin D deficiency, it can contribute to depression. It contributes to ADHD. It can contribute to learning problems, contribute to a lot of stuff, immune system. And this is probably why certain people, like African Americans, where we saw certain diseases in them and we did not see in other, you know, race of people. This is what the medical field is starting to find out. Another thing that you might want to use or might want to take if it's beneficial for you, and if you have a deficiency in it. Before you take any of this, I advise you to do this underneath a holistic doctor and test to see if you have deficiencies in it. Because if you're not deficient in vitamin D, you don't want to take vitamin D because you're not deficient in it. I mean, you don't want to take another dose of it because that could be harmful. Vitamin C is also good and has been linked to ADHD. A lot of people don't know vitamin C is heavily concentrated in the brain. A lot of the medical community is starting to discover that it's not only good for your immune system, but it's also good for your brain. It works with depression. People that have schizophrenia, they gave them high doses of vitamin C, and a lot of their symptoms disappeared. Vitamin B and magnesium also help ADHD and those with autism. Epsom salt bath. It's good to give the child, again, I mentioned previously, but I'm just going over again for those who, you know, join us a little late. You can get the Epsom salt bath from any store, but make sure it's mercury-free, don't have heavy metals in it. Go by the directions, fill up to a tub of water, put in the water, let it dissolve, and have the child sit. That has helped a lot of children with autism. Knowing that you address the nutritional side, You also have to cleanse the body. The child should be moving their bowel movements daily. Those with ADHD and autism, again, it's like this disorder overlaps a little bit, has chronic constipation and diarrhea, which contribute to ADHD and autism. So you have to make sure their bowels are moving every day. Make sure they're eating the food, and the foods that they're eating, the wholesome foods and the foods that they can tolerate, they are assimilating within their bodies. Okay, I discussed detecting food allergies. Again, an excellent book that I recommend is by Dr. Doris Rapp. It's called Is This Your Child? She tests food allergies through special labs, for example, like Great Lakes. Smoky Lakes is one of those names. And she discussed the elimination and rotation of, you know, diets. For example, say if you cannot afford all those specialized, you know, testing, what you can do, look at what your child is eating on a regular basis and take it out one at a time. Like, for example, the child is drinking milk. Take that milk out for 4 days and see what happens. If you need it longer, take it out for a week and see what happens. Or you can do the multiple elimination diet. Take the milk, the wheat, eggs out for a week and see what happens. Then reintroduce with the multiple elimination diet, do it one at a time, like every day. See what happens. Take a list. If you see behaviors disappear when this food item is out, boom, you know that's it. They can't tolerate that. When you put it back in and you see that behavior come back, then you know. You know. Well, I'm going to wrap this up. Before I go, I just want to let you know you can buy my book, Effective Treatments and Solutions for the Autistic Population, on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, from any online retail store. A store near you. If the store don't have it, you can order it. Just ask. I am in the book. I am located. You can also, for more information about autism, you can go to my company website, which is www.WilliamsonPublishingEnterprise.com. I have a whole host of information. My book is also on Kindle. It's on Kindle for $2.99. So if you have a Kindle, you can get it and download it and read it immediately. Basically, my book covers a lot of stuff that also treat those who have ADHD, but I really don't mention it that it does, but it overlaps. So if you have an individual ADHD and autism, my book can give you the therapies and the techniques to get your child back on track, to get them, you know, where they don't, you know, run around aimlessly, or, you know, if they have behavioral problems, or they're in pain, you know, make them feel better, make them where they feel comfortable within their environment, where they're able to interact within their environment. And I want to thank all of you guys on the conference call for joining me, and I want you guys to have a blessed, blessed evening. Bye-bye.